Good morning, everyone, and a Chodesh Tov. I was asked during the last week a bunch of questions about the topic on the screen, and that is the second day Yontif for an Israeli visitor. If someone is an Israeli and he's visiting, or she is visiting, somewhere outside of Israel, do they have to keep the second day Yontif? If they do, what do they have to keep? If they don't, what don't they have to keep? And in order to eliminate the elephant in the room, which I'm sure you're all thinking of, or if you're not thinking of, you should be thinking of, let's spell it out right away at the beginning. So last week, as you all know, the Prime Minister of our country visited the United States for business, and he was there on Shmini Atzeret, which was Monday night, Tuesday. Our Prime Minister wears a kippah, and Prime Ministers of Israel have always kept Yontif and Shabbos publicly, and therefore there was no question he's going to stay in America for Shmini Atzeret, which was Tuesday. Wednesday, here in Israel, we went back to normal, and in Chutz La'aretz, as you know, what was Wednesday, what's colloquially called? Simchas Torah. So, if you look on the screen, everybody knows that some reason I can't transfer it. What's happening here?
We have a picture
of the second day. What? Here we go. And this was a headline in the paper called Times of Israel, and I quote, "For Bennett, Sukkot in New York City is a time to stroll down memory lane in Fifth Avenue." And this article basically says that our Prime Minister not only went to America for business, but since he was there, he went back to his old shul that he used to frequent when he was there, namely the established Jewish community called KJ, Kihilat Jeshurun. The rabbi is Rabbi Chaim Steinmetz, a dear friend of mine, and he was there Monday night, and he walked 25 blocks to get there and get back, or at least to get back, because it was Yontif. Ad Kan, there was no issue. Now, Bruce, in order to stir things up, here is the issue. And before I begin the issue, I want to say this is not a political shear. I am not a political expert, and I will not ever, ever bring politics into a shear. That's not what I believe rabbis should ever do. If you want to hear my political opinions, it's outside of shear. My ballot is my bullet, and that's where I give my political opinions. This is just about one aspect of that trip. And that is, after this happened, Tuesday night comes, the Prime Minister of Israel decided to do the following. Naftali Bennett blasted for flying on holiday for U.S. Jews. So an article in the Jerusalem Post said that he was blasted for doing the following. Tuesday night, Yontif ended in Israel, not in America. And he got on a plane sometime on Wednesday and came back to Israel. Wednesday for us here in Israel is a regular day. There is no issue to take off on a plane from Israel. The problem begins when you leave Israeli airspace. But if you're already in the United States, you're taking off on what for them is Yontif. So he was blasted by Chaver HaKnesset Abutbul. If you look on the left side of the screen, he said, and I quote, "It is shameful and embarrassing that Bennett, who wears a kippah, does not respect the Sabbath and holidays as he is expected to do as a symbol of the government in a Jewish state." In other words, he violated Yom Tov Sheni. He flew on Yom Tov Sheni, and it wasn't a secret. Everybody knew about it. Bennett's spokesman comes along and says the following, and I quote again from the Jerusalem Post article. So I am obviously relying that this is what he said. Bennett's spokesman said that the criticism was nonsense. I quote, "Nonsense. This is only for the Americans," he said. "We are not American." So Bennett's spokesman said, "With due respect, if an Israeli is in Chutz La'aretz and they have Yontif, it has nothing to do with the Israeli. The Israeli can act in Chutz La'aretz as he does in Israel. He is in his own territory." That was what happened. Now, what I want to deal with in this year, before I take your question, Bruce, is there any justification for what our Prime Minister did? Namely, on the second day Yontif, take off from America. Or there's no justification for it. Now, I don't really care about what the Prime Minister does in his religious behavior. He didn't ask me, and therefore it's none of my personal business. If he asks me, I'll be happy to give him my opinion. But this created a lot of, I would say, healthy tension by many Israelis who didn't know. Did he do right? Did he not do right? Can I do like him? And I'll just give one of the many ramifications of this question. The airlines know that there's a second day Yontif. So when do they jack up their prices? When the second day Yontif finishes. So if you fly between first day Yontif and second day Yontif, you're going to have a cheaper flight. So therefore, this would be a very critical question for many people. They'd be very, very happy to take the cheaper flight. Not to mention the fact that on the second day Yontif, they can tell all their relatives in America or where not, if I can use my childish phrases, shame on you, you didn't make Aliyah, you're going to shul, you're going to do hakafas, I'm finished, I'm going to Dunkin' Donuts, I'm going out on the town, I'm taking my car, I can do what I want, you want to do that, pay taxes in Israel, boo-hoo-hoo, bye-bye-bye, and make them all feel bad. My question is a very simple one. An Israeli visitor in Chutz La'aretz, on the second day Yontif, can he do what Bennett did, and that is disregard second day Yontif totally, take off, go on his car, etc. That's the topic of the shir. Again, what the Prime Minister does concerns me a bit less. I'll talk about it maybe at the end of shir, why it does concern me as an Israeli. I want to talk about everyone else, namely, what should you do if you're in this situation? Yes, Bruce, you had a question or comment. It's not, but that's another question. Marit Ayin has nothing to do with this shir. Marit Ayin is a separate shir. We'll deal with it maybe some other time.
Oh, I know that that overlaps on this problem, but if no one knew he's an observant person or anyone, and he flew second day, and no one knew who he was, and therefore the issue of being a prime minister, I wonder if there's any different rules in being the leader of the Jewish state as opposed to just being you and me.
So even though I just said to Bruce that has nothing to do with Marit Ayin, Bruce decided, no, it does. And therefore he says, if I wear a baseball hat and I look like a goy, is it okay for me to basically act on the second day Yontif as if there's no Yontif? That's your question?
Yeah, I thought that was really...
That's not the issue. That's not the issue. There's a Marit Ayin issue with regard to many aspects in halacha. I'll just give maybe the most critical example. If you eat ice cream after a fleishik meal, is there Marit Ayin that you're eating milachik ice cream? If there is, do you need to leave the parva wrapper on the table? If you eat chocolate after a fleishik meal, that's Marit Ayin, okay? If you drink blood, do you have to show that it's blood of a fish? That's the example in the Gemara. However, that's a separate shir, Bruce. That has nothing to do with the shir this morning, and you'll see. Second day Yontif has nothing to do with Marit Ayin. That is one of the misconceptions, in my humble opinion, about the second day Yontif. Marit Ayin is one category in halacha. Second day Yontif is a different category in halacha, as we're about to see. Okay? So, without further ado, if we have no other questions, let's begin. Does everyone know this person on screen? His name is Yedidya Meir. Yedidya Meir is married to Sivan Rahav Meir, one of the most famous journalists in Israel and a celebrity in general. She gives many shiurim, and they're an amazing couple. They're a very special couple. Anyway, during the year that COVID began, in the middle of it, they were in America on Shlichut for a year. And they didn't know what second day Yontif was. So Yedidya Meir, being a Yirei Shamayim, a God-fearing Jew, took a bunch of books on Yom Tov Sheni and started to look, what do I need to do as an Israeli? And it turned out the following, and I quote from his article, I'm going to translate to English for the benefit of everyone. The source is on the screen. When it comes to Yom Tov Sheni for an Israeli outside of Israel, says Yedidya Meir, there are so many complicated halachos that it would be far more simpler to take a plane on Yom Tov Sheni and go back to Israel. Okay? But, says Yedidya Meir, after looking in the books, it turns out that I'm not allowed to do that. If I'm already in America on Yom Tov Sheni, I can take a plane and go. I'm hearing a lot of noise. Can we mute? Who's not muted? Someone mute everyone, please. Okay. Arthur, you're not muted. Are you making noise?
Yes, Arthur.
We'll wait a second just to mute Arthur. Thank you, Arthur. Okay. When we go back to Yom Tov Sheni, so says Yedid Yameir, if you're already in America, you can't take a plane out on Yom Tov Sheni, even though the halachos are very complicated. And he tells you how complicated they were for him. He says, and I quote, it puts you into an emotional stir that it's Yontiv, but you can't feel it's Yontiv. What does he mean? He says, after the first day Yontiv, I had to do Avdallah in order to eat, because you're not allowed to eat until you make Avdallah. But then I have to go to shul for the second day Yontiv davening. Because if I don't go to shul, everyone will know that I'm not keeping second day Yontiv. Then he says, the morning came. Let's say Simchas Torah morning. What does an Israeli have to do? Put on tefillin. And then after he puts on tefillin, he has to mess up his hair a little bit in order for people not to know that he has that tefillin on. You know what happens when you put on tefillin. The marks stay. A very important hashkafic aspect of Judaism, to leave the mark of the mitzvah on you. With tefillin, it's literal. It leaves the marks. So he has to wait till the marks go, and then he goes to shul, and even though he put on tefillin in the morning, he had to dance a kafos. That's what the books of Yom Tov Sheni told him to do. What'd you say, Tzvi?
Naftali Bennett's hair was not messed up.
Exactly. To make a long story, Naftali Bennett does not have to worry about his hair like me. To make a long story short, indeed, he says that when you go to shul, you have to blend in to what's happening, albeit you're davening the Shmoneh Esrei of the weekday. So that's fine. Everyone's shuckling. You're shuckling. And he says there's only one little problem. Anyone know what the problem's going to be?
Okay.
Slach lanu. You got to make sure no one looks at you when you do slach lanu. They'll say, whoa, 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 whoa. What are you doing over there? Anyway, he goes on and on and on to talk about how Yom Tov Sheni for an Israeli in Chutz Laaretz is the most complicated day. It's like having Yom Tov, but not having Yom Tov. And what is he talking about? Let's see. You see, when it comes to Yom Tov Sheni, there's a very basic dilemma that does not exist in many aspects in halacha. In general, we Ashkenazic Jews are very tense people. Am I right, Zvi? Ashkenazim are like, in order to keep halacha, you have to have high nerves, correct? I'll give you an example. I heard this from my Rebbe Rav Amital. The Sfardim, when they make the bracha under the chuppah, they say, V'hitir lanu et hanesuot ayidei chupa v'kiddushin. And God permitted for us married women by virtue of chuppah and kiddushin, right? We can't live with a woman without chuppah and kiddushin. How did the Ashkenazim say the bracha? V'hitir lanu et hanesuot lanu. And he permitted for us, the married women for us. He says, Lemi hitil? Lachavel sheli? So it shows that Ashkenazim have high nerves. So Ashkenazim, like, they have to have high nerves. And Ashkenazim in general like to keep halacha in the following way. Let's fulfill all the shitas. It started with the Chasidei Ashkenaz, and it continues in Psak Halacha to an extent to this day. Therefore, on the second night of Rosh Hashanah, many of you, even though the halacha is you should say she'echiyonu, even though you said it the night before, many of you put a new fruit on the table, just in case you don't have to say she'echiyonu. Correct? Okay. So, says the Minchas Elazar. Have you heard of the Minchas Elazar? The Minchas Elazar with the Munkacher Rebbe died in 1937, I believe. The Munkacher Rebbe was also a great posek. He also hated everyone almost in the Jewish people. The Zionists were no good. This was no good. That was no good. He didn't like too many people. He was very strident. And the Minchas Elazar says the following. What are we supposed to do? We're Ashkenaz and we like to fulfill all shitas. Comes Yom Tov Sheni, you're an Israeli in Chutz Laaretz. What are you supposed to do? Anything you do, you're not going to fulfill all shitas. This is like Erev Pesach, Shechal Liyot B'Shabbat. It's almost impossible on that day to fulfill all shitas. Why? Damn, Yitpalel Shelchol. Hareyu Kimibaseh, it's a Yom Tov. If you daven the weekday Shmoneh Esrei, and it's really Yom Tov Sheni, what are you doing? You're basically spinning on Yontiv. It's Yontiv, and you're not saying Atah Bechartanu Mikol Ha'amim, Mikadesh Yisrael B'Hazmanim. You're Mezalzel in Yontiv. On the other hand, if you daven the Yontiv davening, then what do you lose? Maybe it's a bracha levatala. Let's think about this. You're going to make kiddush on the second night of Yom Tov, two brachas levatala. Shechiyanu, if it's Shmini Atzeret Simchas Torah, three brachas levatala. Potential, right? The next day you're going to daven, you're going to say Hallel, four brachas levatala. The bracha after Hallel, five brachas levatala. You may be going to lane. It's a Wednesday. We don't usually lane on Wednesday. How many brachas levatala will you make if they give you an aliyah on Simchas Torah? Two more. Then you daven Musaf, seven more brachas levatala. Not good. Basically, what does the Munkacher Rebbe tell us? Anywhere you go, you're going to lose. If you celebrate Yontif, maybe you're losing out on Tfilin, which is a mitzvah d'oraisa. If you don't celebrate Yontif, maybe you're mevazeh the Yontif. And Chachamim were very strict about people that are mezalzel in Yom Tov Sheni. So any way you slice it with Yom Tov Sheni, you can't win. You have to come to a conclusion because it's almost impossible to keep all shitas. Impossible. Anything you do, you gain and you lose. So my first item of forbid in this shir, as they used to say on The Price is Right with Barb Barker, is Yom Tov Sheni for an Israeli visitor in Chutz Laaretz. Anything you do, you will gain and you will lose. Okay? There is no way to fulfill all shitas. Okay? Impossible. You put on tefillin, you're maybe mevazeh yontif. You don't put on tefillin, you're mevatel a mitzvat asay of tefillin. You daven yom tov davening, it might be brichot levatola. You don't daven yom tov davening, you're maybe mevazeh the yontif. And you can go on and on and on. It's impossible, so you have to come to a conclusion. And therefore, there's two points of view on this issue. Right? Dramatic. Two points of view. Everybody ready? Yes, Bruce.
Why couldn't you put the phone on privately when no one else sees? And then go to shul or vice versa. Do whatever.
Again, Bruce, if you put on tefillin in the morning, okay, you're basically saying it's a weekday, okay? But if it's really yontif, what are you not doing? You're not davening the right Shmoneh Esrei. You're not saying Hallel. You're not saying Musaf. Correct? What? On the first day of yontif, you're not going to say Hallel because it's not such a big deal for you?
On the second day, when you go to shul with everyone else and they daven, and you're there with them, you don't necessarily have to daven if it's not your yontif.
You don't have to daven on a weekday? Okay, we'll get to that, how they act. But in general, the question is, first of all, do you have to keep second day Yontif? At all? Yes? No? And there's two points of view on this issue. And I'm going to quote my Rebbe Rav Rakefet on it to make it simple and tangible. Does it go by your head or by your feet?
Is this exactly the same in reverse for the American year?
Yes, but that's a separate cheer. We'll deal with the same thing, in my opinion. There's no difference. So, does it go by your head or by your feet? What do I mean, head or feet? The first point of view is, it goes by your head. What does it mean by your head? Where is your head? Tzvi, you live in Israel, you pay taxes in Israel. For you, your prime minister is Naftali Bennett, the second in command is Yair Lapid, for better or for worse, you have your political opinions. Then you have a president of Israel named Buzi Herzog, son of another president of Israel. That's where your head is. What happens in America is sensational, but it doesn't really concern you. Namely, What do I mean? Even though you're visiting America, you don't live there. You don't pay your ongoing taxes there, just what the IRS asks. You don't go ahead and necessarily care about the elections within the state that you happen to be visiting. For you, America is one big shopping center. It's a place to visit family and to tour. That's all. Where do you live? You live in Israel. So your head is in Israel, even though your feet are in America. Ah, so therefore the Shulchan Aruch Rav Yosef Karo in the 16th century says, even then people visited Chutz La'aretz, B'nei Eretz Yisrael, Sheba'u L'Chutz La'aretz, people that are there on Yom Tov Sheni, Asurim La'asot Melacha B'Yom Tov Sheni B'Yishuv, Afil Da'atot L'Chzor. So even though you're an Israeli, you're planning to go back after Yontiv, if you're within a Jewish community, as the Mishnah Brura, his picture here on the left explains, within the Jewish community, you have to act as if it's Yontif. Okay? Later on, the Chida, one of the Nosei Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch, a great Svarti Posek, Rav Chaim Yosef David Azulai, who wrote about 30 books. I'm always envious of him because I don't know how. In all his life, he was also a person who went fundraising in Chutz La'aretz and whatnot. He wrote 30-something books. We don't even have all his books. Shluchai Eretz Yisrael animtzaim b'Chutz La'aretz. Ba'u le'meitev im ha'bal ha'bayit b'sukkah. They have to sit with the bal ha'bayit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeret, where in Chutz La'aretz, at least according to the Gemara, the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch, you're supposed to sit in the sukkah. Ve'yomru b'feirush b'nam le'vein atzmam. They should say quietly, I'm not doing this because of mitzvah tzukkah, I'm only doing it because it's nice here. You know, I like to sit in the cold. Why? Explains Rav Yaakov Emden. Rav Yaakov Emden was the son of the Chacham Tzvi. We'll tell you why that's important in a moment. Shekol aruchim shavim b'zeh ima ezrachim shechayavim linhog befarhesia. So publicly, if you're within a Jewish community in Chutz La'aretz, and I madgish, within a Jewish community in Chutz La'aretz, you have to keep Yom Tov Sheni at least publicly. Uli inyan sin'ah, but privately, hu shemechalkim k'tzat aposkim ben da'ato lachzor lelo da'ato lachzor. So, according, one second, let me just finish, Harold. According to this point of view, you're an Israeli because you pay taxes in Israel, even though your feet are in America. You're an Israeli. So what does that mean on Yom Tov Sheni? Publicly, at the very least, publicly, you're keeping Yom Tov Sheni. You're blending into the Jewish community. You're wearing a suit and tie if that's the mode of dress on Yom Tov. You're going to shul. You're davening with them. You're sitting with them in the sukkah if it's Shmini Atzeret, even though in Israel you wouldn't. You're blending in with the Jewish community, at least publicly. Privately, we'll deal with in a minute. But publicly, that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. So you don't have to keep Yom Tov Sheni, but you have to blend in publicly. Thus, the Mishnah Berurah says here, Mitam zeh tzrichim hem lihitpalel tfilat yudchet belachash b'yom tov sheni. You daven the regular weekday Shmoneh Esrei, and you put on tefillin betzina, but tzrichim lilbosh mabush yom tov mipnei shehu davar shel farhesia. So needless to say, according to this, it is absolutely forbidden, Bruce, absolutely forbidden, publicly, to get into a car, let alone a plane, on the second day Yom Tov, if you're within the Jewish community on that day. Okay? Harold, you had a question.
Yeah, sitting in the sukkah, to me, it's a sinner. It's not public.
Yeah, but if you're invited to a meal by someone's house and you say to them, oh, I can't join you because for me, I'm an Israeli and I don't sit in sukkah on Shmini Atzeret. It's a Baal Tosef Derabanan in Israel on Shmini Atzeret to sit in the sukkah. What are you basically saying? You're basically going against the Shulchan Aruch. What are you doing? You're not blending in. So therefore, you have to sit in the sukkah if they invite you to a meal. If they don't, you're right. It's Bitzina. And we'll deal with Bitzina in a moment. Okay? But publicly, you cannot, I repeat, leave a Jewish community on the second day Yontif, get into a car, get into a plane, go to the store, do anything different than anyone else there publicly. Okay? Privately, we'll deal with in a moment. What do you do privately? But publicly, namely, if you're in Manhattan, you can't exactly get into your entourage of 25 cars and drive with your Israeli flag on it, and then go to the airport, and then go on a plane because you're within the Jewish community. Now, you understand, according to this, Tzvi, that if you're not in a Jewish community, if you're in some forsaken place with no Jews, then, according to the Shulchan Aruch, in this point of view, this wouldn't apply. Now, what is this based on? This is based on the fact that Yom Tov Sheni is an assumption that it's a private minhag because you come from Chutz La'aretz. Or if you come from Israel, your minhag is not to keep a second day Yontif. It's all minhag. And what do we do with minhagim? We have a Gemara that dictates for us minhagim. There's a whole perek in Pesachim called Makom Shenahagu that says, and I quote, if you go to a place that they're machmir on something and you're mekel, you have to blend in publicly. What does that mean? Says the Gemara, Mishnah, at the beginning of the Perek in Pesachim called Makom Shenohagu, Ha'olech mimakom she'osin, le'makom she'enosin. You go from a place that doesn't do a second day Yontiv to a place that does. Notnim alav chumrei makom she'yatza misham, ve'chumrei makom she'halach l'sham. You always go l'chumra, and more importantly, al yeshaneh adam mipnei ha'machloket. Do not do differently publicly, because it creates a machlokes. What is a machlokes in this regard? It doesn't mean people are going to fight with you. It means they're going to see one Jew with a kippah doesn't go into a car, and another Jew with a kippah does go into a car. One Jew with a kippah says to his employer in the same business, I can't work, it's a Jewish holiday. And another one says, no, I can work, it's not a Jewish holiday. That's machlokes. That's usher. Just to spell it out, the first Lubavitch Rebbe who authored the Shulchan Aruch Harav, Rav Shneur Zalman Miladi, says, and he, I'm going to say again, he goes ahead and actually contradicts himself. But we'll see that in a moment. Here's his picture. Ve'im ein da'arto lihishtakea le'olam bo'oto ha'ir lo'olam lo chalu alav chumrei oto makom. If you're not planning to live in America, the chumras don't apply to you. However, b'toch ha'tchum, within the tchum of the Jewish community, asur l'shanot min hagam mipnei ha'machlokes. You can't do differently within the tchum, publicly. That they shouldn't see one Jew doing this, one Jew doing that. So again, this is not marit ayin in the regular sense of the word. This is explicit halacha called al yishaneh mipnei ha'machlokes. That publicly you blend in. Just to give you an example, not from Yom Tov Sheni. Everybody see the cow on the screen? Could anyone tell me what is the inner contradiction with the cow? Well, let me put it differently, Bruce. You know, many of us have split personalities. We go to psychologists. So the cow has a split personality, but he doesn't go to a psychologist. You know why? It's physical. Arthur, what is the split personality of our cow? What?
His hoofs.
His hoofs are split. Is the cow miluchik or fleishik?
The cow is fleishik.
The cow is fleishik. You have to wait. You're 5.5 hours. You're 6 hours. You're 1 hour. You're 3. Ah, very good. The cow's fleishik. Tell me, how many people drinking coffee with milk right now? Where does the milk come from? Look on our cow here. Look on the bottom of the cow. You see these? These are called udders. In Hebrew, the kachal. Okay? These are where the milk comes from. So our cow has a split personality. He's fleishik. Until you get to the udders, the milk is milichik. So that's fine. We treat the milk as milichik. We treat the cow as fleishik. Where's the one place that the milichik and fleishik clash?
Udder.
The udders. So you shecht an animal, it's not a treifa, and you want to eat the udders. There were two minhagim in Am Yisrael. One was, don't eat the udders, because that's basar b'chalav. And the other says, it's totally mutter. Why? Because God would never say, it's usser, if that's the way the cow is created. So there were two minhagim, some eat it, some don't eat it, and there's ways to machshir it. One of the great rabbis that we just lost on Shmini Atzeret, Rav Moshe David Tendler, Zechet Tzadik Livracha, you can see a picture right here on the screen. What is he cutting?
Udders.
This is when he taught his shir about this sugya of the kachal, of the udders. Okay? Now, the Gemara brings a story in Chulin on the screen about Rami Bar Dikula mi Pumpendita. Rami Bar Dikula comes from Pumpendita, and he decided to daven Yom Kippur in a place called Sura. You remember there were two great yeshivas. So he's from the Pumpendita yeshiva, and he came to Sura, right? Okay. In Pumpendita, they ate the udders. In Sura, they didn't. He went ahead and ate it before Yom Kippur. They started to yell at him and scream at him, how do you eat it? Our minhag is not to eat it. You're supposed to blend in, as we just said. Publicly, you should not do different. What is the answer after the whole razzle-dazzle of the Gemara? Chutz l'tchum achalitinehu. I ate it outside of the tchum. I wasn't within the Jewish community. Had I been within Surah, I wouldn't eat it because I'm supposed to blend in. So, according to this point of view, to sum up, it goes by your head. You do not celebrate the second day of Yontiv on a private level. We'll find out what that means in a moment. Publicly, you blend in so much that nobody notices that you're an Israeli. At all. So if you're going to daven in a minyan, which you should not say slach lanu by hitting your chest. Just say it because people will notice you're not davening the yontiv davening. You should not wear weekday clothing. And if you put on tefillin, private, not public. Yes, Harold.
Why don't you put on tefillin daven b'yichidus and go to
shul? What?
Daven b'yichidus with your tefillin on. That's why you sing Shema Shmur Esrei with tefillin on. And then go to shul and be with the minyan.
So Harold is asking a very important question, and that is, what's more important on the second day yontif? To daven with the minyan or to daven with your tefillin on? At least for shachris. Right?
But then you go to shul afterwards and you stay with the minyan.
So that's exactly the question. What's more important? You daven with a minyan, with your talis and tefillin on at home, without a minyan, and then go to shul to blend in. And you know, when they shuckle, your shuckle, you'll say tehillim, you'll daven up mishnayis, you'll say, you'll learn the daf yomi, you'll blend in. How many Jews don't daven with a sitter? They daven with their daf yomi. So you'll blend in. Or is it more important to daven your shmoneh esrei and your shema with the minyan? That's a very cardinal question. And we won't deal with it today. I'll just say that that question comes up not just in this regard. What's more important? To daven kriyat shema bizmana with its brachos and shmoneh esrei because you have to somech geula the tefillah? Or daven with a minyan so you'll say shema earlier? Same question. So we won't deal with it today, Harold. But suffice it to say, you're on the right track. You have to go to shul. You have to blend in. The question is, should you daven with your tefillin at home first, or just put it on and take it off? Okay, this is the point of view number one. You're not celebrating second day Yontif, but publicly for sure, you're blending in like all the Jews there. Yes?
If you have enough Israelis there to make their own separate minyan, is that the best?
You're asking me, I'm going to tell you honestly, Rav Yosef Cairo has a tshuva not in the Afkat Rochel that allows it. And even though he's the Shulchan Aruch and I'm a nothing, I believe that it's 100% forbidden. Why? Because it goes against everything we just said. It goes against everything we just said. What did we just say? You have to blend in. So on the second day Yontif, if you have a weekday minyan, you're not blending in by definition. And it's public. It's a minyan. So you're not blending in. But for a different time, okay? Okay, if a whole community is Israeli, we're not in a Jewish community, Bruce. Bruce, if the whole community is Israeli, like in a hotel somewhere, by definition, it's not a Jewish community. You're not in the yeshuv. Go back a slide. I repeat, Asula Asot Malacha B'Yom Tov Sheni. Ba-yi-shuv. If it's not a Jewish community, we have more leeway. But in this case, Bruce, the Prime Minister went to KJ. Everyone knew he was in Manhattan. That's a Jewish community. Right? Okay, let's continue on. This is first point of view. The second point of view says it goes by your feet and not by your head. Even though you're Israeli, you only laugh at Israeli comedians. You pay taxes in Israel. It makes no difference. Yom Tov Sheni is like Purim. If on the Tet Vav Adar, Purim in Yerushalayim, you woke up in Alot HaShachar in Yerushalayim. Your books are in Efrat. Okay? You pay taxes in Efrat. You like the mayor or don't like the mayor in Efrat. You complain about the terrible traffic in Efrat. You have nothing to do with Jerusalem, but you happen to be drunk the night before. You somehow stumbled into Jerusalem and you slept there. If you woke up in Jerusalem on Tet Vav Adar, it makes no difference where you live. You celebrate Purim on that day. Okay? So, says the Chacham Tzvi, who's the father of Rav Yaakov Emden, who disagrees with him, because we quoted him a second ago, says the Chacham Tzvi, it goes by where your feet are. I'll just quote the cardinal part of what he says. He's talking about the opposite situation coming to Israel. Afa ba'im mechutz la'aretz, from chutz la'aretz to Israel. Asurim em linhag Yom Tov Sheni. They can't keep Yom Tov Sheni in Israel. Kol zman shehem be'eretz Israel. Kevan shahamakom goreim. It goes by your feet, not by your head. Where your feet are, that's how you celebrate Yontif. So if you're in Chutz La'aretz 2 days, if you're in Israel, 1 day. Explains Rav Shneur Zalman Miladi, as I said, he contradicts himself. In his introduction to that same Shulchan Aruch, he says, the rays of Kedusha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu come down to Israel for 1 day, and come to Chutz La'aretz for 2 days. A very Hasidic point of view, the rays of Kedusha. So ultimately, according to this, you can't take the Kedusha of 2 days in Chutz La'aretz and bring it to Israel, because in Israel the Kedusha is just for 1 day, and vice versa. You can't be in Chutz La'aretz. There's Kedusha down on the second day, Yontiv, Wednesday, and you're saying, no, it doesn't apply to me. The Kedusha's here, the Kedusha's there, not here. It's like the old joke. The guy who on Shabbos is walking and he sees money on the street and he says, no, Shabbos was to my left, Shabbos was to my right. Where the money was, it wasn't Shabbos. I picked up the money, I put it in my pocket. No such thing. If there's Kedusha in Chutz La'aretz, it's for everyone. So according to this point of view, very simple point of view, I must add, if you're in Israel, you do 1 day. I don't care where you come from, where you pay taxes. If you're in Chutz La'aretz, you do 2 days. I can care less if you serve in the army or not. This point of view was the point of view of Rav Soloveitchik, as quoted by Rav Schechter and many others, that ultimately it goes by your feet and not by your head. Wherever you are, that's what you do. Rav Yaakov Emden, explaining his father's point of view, even though he disagrees, says, and I quote, in the bottom of the screen, Michamat hamakom ba'achumra mimele. It has nothing to do of where you come from. It's not a personal minhag. It's based on where you are. You look on the next screen, this was the point of view of no less than the Munkacher Rebbe that we began with. And just to let you know, the Munkacher Rebbe was someone that, as I said, never looked for kulas. He was 100% against machine matzah, just to let you know. And he says that on this issue, it's like Purim. Kivan shehu bimkomo bechol hayom hahu, mechuyav linhok motan bechol davar, ben lekula u ben lechumra. So this point of view is simple. Why is it simple, Bruce? You have to just ask yourself one question. Where am I? Am I in Chutz La'aretz? I keep second day Yontif. I'm in Israel? Oh, I keep 1 day Yontif. That's if it goes by your feet. But if it goes by your head, you start with the Sibuchim.
What about putting on sandwiches at the Arayis?
Okay, according to this point of view, it's Yom Tov Sheni Lechol Davar, Harold. No tefillin. Even though Yom Tov Sheni is the Rabbanon, you all know that our rabbis were very concerned that people were mezalzel in the second day Yom Tov, so they said not to put on tefillin. So from your perspective, no tefillin. Now I have to agree with Harold on one thing. If you want to put on tefillin betzina, it's not a violation of Yom Tov, because there were Amoraim that even put on tefillin on Shabbos. So to say that it's a violation of Yom Tov, I don't think so. So if you want to put it on without a bracha, betzina, in some closet somewhere, I don't think it's a violation of Yom Tov Sheni. But other than that, full Yom Tov for you. It just goes by where your feet are. On the second day, Yom Tov, in this regard, Tuesday night, you say, am I in Israel? Havdalah. Am I in America? Kiddush. That's it. Simple. Clear cut. Vice versa. You come to Israel. I'm here for a year. I'm not here for a year. I'm here for all Shlosh Regalim. Regardless, you're here one day. Finished. According to the first point of view, that it goes by your head, then you start the complications. Namely, oh, I have to keep Yom Tov publicly. What about privately? Do I make Havdalah after one day? Don't I? How? Do I go to shul? Not go to shul? When I go to shul? How? Woo! What? That's where it gets complicated. But you should know that even though many people say, oh, the Chacham Tzvi was a Das Yachid, this is not true. And don't let people throw this over you. The Chacham Tzvi agreed with him. Rav Shneur Zalman Miladi, in one of his two opinions, Rav Soloveitchik, here is the Minchas Elazar, the Munkat Rebbe, agreeing with him, saying it's exactly like Purim, and, of course, his grandfather, Rav Chaim Brisker, agreed with him. In other words, he said in a nice Brisker fashion that Yom Tov is not a din begavra, it's a din bechefza. And the chefza means the state, where you are. And where you are, it's Yom Tov, you have to keep Yom Tov. So the bottom line is that at the end of the day, it goes by your feet and not by your head. But if it goes by your head, we start to have a problem. So I'm going to assume for this shiur that everyone sitting around this shiur is going to say the following. Since the easier point of view is not to keep a second day Yom Tov, I am going not to keep the second day Yom Tov. What do I mean easier? You don't have to make Kiddush again. You don't have to have two more Yom Tov meals. You don't have to refrain from using your phone, maybe. I say maybe. We'll get to that. All right, I'm going to go by the first point of view. So if I visit America for Pesach coming up, I'm going to keep one day. All right. So what does that mean about the second day? Again, according to the second point of view, you have no choice. You have to keep full 2 days. But according to the first point of view, we said earlier, what can't you do on the second day? Publicly, you can't do what? Any melacha. You have to blend in totally. Totally. You go to shul, you wear your Yom Tov clothing, you go to a second Seder. But since it's not Yom Tov, you've got yourself a big pickle. That's what you did, your mayor began with. I have to make Havdalah, but I was invited to a second Seder. If I say, no, I'm Israeli, I don't need to do a second Seder, that's publicly saying I'm not blending in. Usher. So you have to go to that second Seder. Do you make brachos at that second Seder? Wait a minute. You're not allowed to. It's not Yom Tov. You can't say Al Achilat Asher Kedishan Tov B'Tzivan Al Achilat Matzah. You can't say Al Achilas Maror. What? Oh, Bore Pri Agafen you can make. That's a Birkas Hananin. A Motzi Lechem you can make. Right? Bore Pri Adama you can make. But you can't make the Birkos HaMitzvah. Correct? Okay. A little complicated. We'll get through it. All right? I'm just going to add a complication to a complication, because I like my head is like a complicated head. If you're invited to a second day Yom Tov meal. All right? And the Balabait makes Kiddush. Thank God he doesn't ask you to make Kiddush. Because for you, it's not Yom Tov. You just made Havdalah privately at home. All right. How you doing? Good Yom Tov publicly. I'm like you. Here, I'm wearing my suit and tie. I'm all ready. Second day Yom Tov. Everyone says, Amen. What happens next, Howard? What happens next, Tvi? The Balabayit says, Asher b'char b'anu mikolam, v'ramanu mikol Hashem, b'batitan lanu this second day yantiv, zman, whatever, baruch ato Hashem, mekadosh Yisrael v'azmanim, and if it's a first or second day, shechiyanu. That's beautiful. Is it a hefsek? For him it's not. That's the way Chachamim said to make the bracha. What about for you? For him, it's not a hefsek. What about for you? Can you now drink from that wine? Ah, very good. So you mumble the bracha quietly. You know what you do. You get the bottle, you get the wine, and you cover your mouth for a second, guffin, and you drink. Okay, you got through that. That's good. Now he says, Hamotzi lechem in haaretz. No problem there. Hamotzi is a birkas anen. He wants to sing. You can sing. Divrei Torah. What do you do at a yontif meal? Divrei Torah. You sing. Politics. The rabbi's no good. The president's a mamzer, etc. Eventually, you finish the yontif meal. You bench, right? He asks you to bench. Can you lead benching? Probably. You ate meal. So you don't say Yaliv Yovel. That's a private matter, right? That's okay. If you have a second Seder, you got yourself a huge problem on your hands. Kiddush is the least of the problems. But then you got a bracha of Maror, bracha of Achilas Matzah. Everything gets tricky. There's ways around it. We just explained one of the ways around it, right? But the basic rule is you blend in. So based on this, is there any heter whatsoever to leave an established Jewish community on the second day Yontif by a car and by a plane? None. None. There is none. And again, I don't understand why people started to say in various posts that I saw on Facebook, it's okay, it's not really second day Yontif for an Israeli, it's no big deal. It's absolutely 100% usher to leave an established Jewish community on the second day Yontif. Unless there was a pikuach nefesh of some sort or a tzorech gadol, it's a derabbanan after all. I don't understand. I just don't understand how this happened. How did it happen? It's beyond me. Okay? And I'll just show you why it's so beyond me. Because it goes against established Israeli practice on this regard. Because Israeli leaders have not violated Yontif Sheni in public in the past. If they did, it wasn't exactly reported. But I'll show you where it was reported that they didn't, even though they wanted to. Yes, Bruce. Okay, I'm going to go. Okay, Bruce, you keep on going back. Maybe I didn't explain myself. I'm going to go back here. Something's wrong here with me, I guess. I'm a bad teacher. I'm a terrible teacher. I'm going to read the Shulchan Aruch to you again, okay? B'nei Eretz Yisrael Shebao Lechutz Al Haaretz. Asurim La'asot Melacha B'yom Tov Sheni B'Yeshuv Afilu Da'ato Lachzor. Now read this passage, Bruce, and tell me. Where do you see in this passage that if they don't look, it's okay?
Well, but you're talking about blending in. The whole point is blending in. So if he didn't blend in his coming or going, then there it sounds like there's no effect on the community.
I agree. I'm going to, again, Kol Zman, Mishnah Berurah, Shelo Higia Le'ir Shel Yisrael, Ein Tzarich Li'itnahe Kechumrei Oto Medina. But once you get in, you have to. Not because they're going to look at you. They're not. No one looks at you, Bruce. They don't like you. Okay? You're an enemy of everyone in that Jewish community. It makes no difference. The Shulchan Aruch says, once you're in the border of that Jewish community, you can't do melacha publicly on Yom Tov Sheni. I don't care if they look at you or not. It doesn't ever, there is nowhere that I found that it says that if they don't look at you, they look the other way, it's okay to get into a car. Okay? That's a myth out there. Now, if I wear a baseball cap and not a kippah, it's okay. There's no such thing. I'll tell you where there may be such a thing, okay? And that is that if you do something that other people would think is mutter, even though you wouldn't necessarily do it on Yom Tov Rishon. Okay, do you know the New York area a bit, Bruce?
Sure.
Okay, is Queens and Brooklyn the same tchum or two different tchumim? You're not going to leave the tchum. Well, it's part of the five boroughs of New York City, but we call it Brooklyn versus Queens, correct? Well, on Yom Tov Rishon, I wouldn't think of taking a subway from one to the other. But you know, a subway is 10 tefachim down on the ground, and maybe I can make a case that it's not really a violation of Yom Tov if I get on the subway with a baseball hat going from this tchum to that tchum. There, you may say, okay, because then it's when people quote-unquote look at you or don't look at you, you're not necessarily violating Yom Tov, because what's the issur of getting on a subway? It's going anyway. What's the issur of going from Queens to Brooklyn? Right? So there, if they don't know, or to be more precise, if there is one opinion out there that says it's not a violation of Yom Tov, maybe you can make a case. I say maybe because, again, if the common minhag is to be machmir, you can't go against it publicly. Okay? But, Bruce, this is totally different than getting into a car with an entourage and going out. That's absolutely everyone who agrees, Usser. Anyone allows that on Yom Tov Sheni, getting into a car? I know for a fact, Bruce, that you're wrong. Because the former rabbi of Efrat said that he paskins like the Chacham Tzvi. So by definition, he doesn't say the difference between public and private. It goes by where you are. So that for sure is not true. I know for a fact. All right? However, let's talk about public and private for a moment. So I am now in America. I'm within the Jewish community. Publicly, no heter whatsoever. Not to blend in. Whatever they're doing for Yom Tov, I have to do. They don't get into cars, I don't get into cars. They're wearing Yom Tov clothing, I'm wearing Yom Tov clothing. They're dancing our kafas, I'm dancing our kafas. Great. Now I come home. Can I at home go onto my computer? You know, I'll close the shutters. No one's going to know I'm on my computer. So, first and foremost, I have to be honest with everyone. That's on assumption you're not about to post on Facebook, Twitter, and whatnot. Because if you do, it becomes public. But, you know, you're on your computer, you're browsing the websites. You're browsing. No one knows you're on your computer. Okay? Nobody knows, nor they can hear, that you are doing laundry. Is that usser or mutter? Can you, in your private home, do malacha? Okay?
Yes.
Oh, so says Arthur. Yes, anyone disagree? No one. Okay, let's just see for a moment. When I said it's against Israeli practice, look at this article from 2010. Erev Sukkis in Yediot Achronot, the article says, the Rabbanim grounded Peres for 3 days. It was a 3-day yontif. Peres was there for, again, the same incident as Bennett, the UN Big meeting. Wednesday night was the first night of Sukkis. What did Peres want to do? He wanted to leave after the first night of Sukkis, namely Thursday night, get back to Israel Friday before Shabbos. Guess what? He asked a bunch of rabbis, including Rav Uvadja Yosef, who was alive at the time. And Rav Uvadja told him, not surprisingly, you can't. Now, this was not one extra day, Bruce. This was a 3-day yontif. Imagine what he had to suffer. And I quote, you ready? Pana Peres, the Rav HaKotel of Aravi, who turned to Rav Uvadya, who said, Bibchina ilchatit ne'esara lavatus beyom hazeh. Now, the president of Israel then didn't like the answer. So what did he do? He went psak shopping. Now I'm about to tell you a secret. Okay? A state secret. It's now been 11 years since this incident. Do you know I got a phone call as well? I don't know how. I got a phone call saying, can you receive a phone call that you won't ever tell people about it? I said, sure, with pleasure. It was the legal advisor to the president asking me, I don't know how they got to me, if he's allowed to leave New York City on second day Yom Tov. And without batting an eyelash, I said, 100% usher. They said, thank you very much. And they continued to go psak shopping. Okay? Eventually, they got to Rav Uvadja Yosef, who, of course, says to the president, I love this. Birkat Shana Tova, you should have a good year. Oh, by the way, Yves Charlotte here. By the way, Yves Charlotte here. Okay? Now, because this was in the press, I'm allowed to talk about it. But the bottom line is that there's no heter. Okay? It's 100% usher. Now, I don't care what the prime minister does per se. We can have a talk after Shir. Is this bad for the state of Israel that the prime minister publicly violates Yontif? That's a political conversation. We'll have it some other time. I just wanted to show you it goes against Israeli practice on this issue. Okay? 10 years ago, it happened, and they put him on the ground for 3-day Yontif, no more, no less. But I'm asking a different question for me. If I'm on his entourage, can I leave? And the answer is no. On the other hand, if you look at the article here from Yisrael Hayom, from the year Tavshin Ayin Dalit, Yisrael Hayom says that a certain Elav plane coming into Israel, Erev Simchas Torah, there was a certain issue, they had to land in London, they can't get back to Israel on time, Elav doesn't fly on Yontif, they landed in Favvafin, a place in London, no Jews there, and they celebrated Yontif in a hotel. Bruce, is that hotel a Jewish community? No, not at all. It's a hotel. It's outside the Jewish community. So therefore, right after the first day of Yontif, they took off. Now, the Chacham Tzvi would say, wait a minute. It's chutzlar, it's your feet are there. But according to the Shulchan Aruch point of view, it goes by your head, as long as you're not in the Jewish community, and here was a hotel somewhere near some airport, you can leave. And therefore, both these articles are 100% correct. Paris was in Manhattan, he couldn't leave. The other article said they were in some Favuffina place in London, they could leave. That's the difference. And there's no two ways about it. Now comes the cardinal question. So, if I'm in Chutz La'aretz and publicly I'm blending in, can I privately in my own home do what I want? We get to a big machlokes aposkim. And I hate to break it to everyone, but the majority of poskim say, you can't even do malacha privately. Tosvos, afilu betzina, afilu da'ato lachzor, you're planning to leave back to Israel the next day? You still can't do malacha betzina. The Shulchan Aruch Harav, Rav Shneur Zalman Miladi says you're not allowed to. The Magen Avraham says you're not allowed to. The Mishnah Berurah says you're not allowed to, and this is the majority of postgame. However, there is a Taz that says you're allowed to. Rav Yaakov Emden seems to say it's okay. However, you should know the majority of postgame do not allow malacha even betzina on the second day Yontif. So even though you're not keeping Yontif, you can't put on your computer. You can't put on the lights. What can you do? Not much. I like to say, if this is the case, it's like better to keep the second day Yontif, at least to get the benefits. Without it, what are you doing? You're not getting the second Seder, but you still can't put on your computer. So what do you gain? You gain nothing. It's like a day of Avelis in a way. You can't do anything, but you don't do anything. What? Okay, you do Avdallah the night before, you put on tefillin the next day, but quite frankly, outside of those two things, you're stuck. You're stuck. You can't do even malacha at home. You can't put on lights. You can't do laundry.
Wait a minute, Rav Moshe disagreed. You're allowed to put on a light. No one's seeing you physically.
Who says Rav Moshe disagrees? Do you know this for a fact?
Yeah, Urachaya, volume 4, chapter 1.
I'll check a look. So Rav Moshe, if that's the case, I'll check a look after Shir. Paskin's light. The Taz? And let's, in this shir say, let's be lenient. In private, we're going to paskin like the Taz. It is a derabanan, second day, so we'll paskin like the Taz privately. But publicly, Bruce, no heter whatsoever to leave by a plane or by a car on the second day Yontif. No heter whatsoever not to blend in. Privately, you have leeway, certain leeway. However, I'm going to again say, Arthur, you cannot post on Facebook. That's public. You can't show everyone you're on WhatsApp. That's public. Okay? By the way, I have people in Chutz La'aretz that don't understand this. I know people, they posted between first day Yontif to the second day Yontif because, you know, they had vacation. Everyone's celebrating second day Yontif. They're not. They thought it was okay. They posted on Facebook. The minute they post on Facebook, they go from private to public. It's a problem. It's a problem, in my opinion. It's not blending in. What do you think? After Yontif, when people see it, they don't know when you posted. It says when you posted. So therefore, if you want to be on your computer, you can be Mekel, like the Taz, according to Arthur of Moshe. We'll take a look. However, only in private. Not anything that can be seen or heard publicly. So here, Bruce, is where your issue of, do they see you, don't you see you, come in. Once you're in the Jewish community, you blend it in publicly. When you come home and you close the door and the shutters, that's when the leeway begins. But again, I say, to an extent, not totally. And according to the majority of poskim, when you close your doors and your shutters, you still can't do malacha. So there's no maritayin involved again, Bruce. This is like Yom Tov Sheni. You can't do malacha. You don't keep Yom Tov, but you don't do malacha. But there is a minority that says you can. Fine. But as long as it's not public. So to sum up, a visitor to Chutz La'aretz on Yom Tov Sheni from Israel has to keep Yom Tov Sheni publicly. Privately, machlokas. Does it go by your head or by your feet? Okay? That's what it comes down to. Very simple. Do you have to keep Yom Tov Sheni? Machlokas. If you don't have to keep Yom Tov Sheni, publicly everyone agrees, yes. Privately, difference of opinion. So, therefore, to answer the question we began with, and I'll go back to the actual quote, I don't know who said it, who the spokesman is, but the spokesman that said about Yom Tov Sheni, this is only for Americans, was he right or wrong? According to the most lenient point of view, he's wrong. Okay? Not true. Publicly, it's everyone. If he would have said, privately, it's only for Americans, I would say, ooh, wait, he's poskening like the Taz, and according to Arthur of Moshe Feinstein, that's all right. But he didn't say that. He said, only for Americans! Nothing to do with me! The most lenient point of view does not allow malacha publicly. Okay, Bruce.
The Israeli public, Jews of an Israeli, who keeps mitzvahs, flies into an American town on business, they don't have an Orthodox shul in that town. So, he dines at home every day. And there are Jews around, but there's no community.
Can I speak to that? About 7, 8, no, maybe about 10 years ago, I was invited to my son for the last day Pesach. He was involved before my son was my dad at the time, High Lifeline in the States. He had gotten a call. There was a cancer patient who needed medicine emergency, which the only manot that were available were here. He flew out with continental food, no kosher food on the flight, on the last day of Pesach.
Okay. Okay, you're asking two different questions, but I'm going to explain. Bruce, your question is much more complex than what Tzvi said. There is a Jewish community, albeit no Orthodox shul. Is that considered a yeshuv Yehudi or not? Okay? In my humble opinion, it is considered a yeshuv Yehudi. They're just Jews. There's a Jewish community, they're chayev in Yom Tov Sheni, they just don't know it. Okay? That's more complex than what Howard Tzvi said. Howard on screen, Tzvi as I know him as a neighbor. So Tzvi said, I left Israel on a plane. Is there any problem leaving Israel? There's no Yom Tov here. You can get on the plane, you go. Once you leave Israeli airspace, there's a minority view, and I'll admit it's my Rebbe Rav Lichtenstein, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, who says the minute you leave Israeli airspace, you're chayiv in Yom Tov Sheni. So then you got a problem when you get to the airport, what to do. When you're on the plane, can you close the door to the bathroom because the light goes on, etc. But that's a minority point of view. The majority point of view is, as long as you didn't get to the Jewish community, you're not chayiv in Yom Tov Sheni. Why? Because of the Mishnah Berurah we just quoted. And I quote again, V'kol zman shelo igia le'ir shel Yisrael, ein tzarich lehitnaheg. So the situation you just described, leaving out the pikuach nefesh, because you mentioned the cancer patient, manot, leaving out the pikuach nefesh, okay? He left Israel on second day yantiv. For us, it's not second day yantiv. Any issue there? No. He lands in which airport?
Newark.
Newark. Is Newark a Jewish community? No, it's not. It's not. It's far away from it. I know where the community is. Newark Airport is not part of the Jewish community, so therefore you did not get to, and I quote, you did not get to the ear. Shel Yisrael. Now, you're right that if he would leave the airport and come into the city with a car, violation. So what do people do? And this is the Psak Halacha, not just for the Pikuach Nefesh, you said. You can leave Israel, land in an airport, go from airport to airport if you have connecting flights all day. You just can't come into the Jewish community until the second day Yontif is over. Okay? That's the Psak Halacha on second day Yontif. Again, there is a minority view of my Rebbe. The minute you leave Israeli airspace, that's it. But in general, you should know that the general point of view is until you get to the Jewish community, as the Mishnah Berurah says, there's no issue. So he could come to the airport, Tzvi, and fly out. No issue. Because he was just in the airport. I just feel bad for him on a human level. He comes to a 12-hour flight to Newark, and he comes right back onto a 10-hour flight a second later. That's pretty harsh. I once in my life flew to Australia on a Tuesday night. I got there Thursday morning, you know, with the time change, and I flew out Sunday. So that was a little crazy, but that's like as crazy as I got. What you're describing is even crazier. But no halachic issue. The halachic issue with this case was he was already in a Chutz La'aretz Jewish community. That's the difference.
My question was, there's no Jewish community. He lands in Oshkosh.
All right. Bruce, let's read it. If there's no Jewish community, again, there's no Reform, conservative temples, nothing. There's a few Jews, Epis. They don't even know they're Jewish. Here it is. Lo higia le'ir shel Yisrael. No issue. The issue begins when you come into an ir shel Yisrael. Manhattan, due respect, is an ir shel Yisrael. There's many, many shuls there. Our prime minister went to shul. It was all over the papers. He went to KJ. He was there. He walked 25 miles. Everybody knew he was there. Everybody knew he left. He did not blend in. So again, once again, if you're within the Jewish community already, you got a problem. If you didn't get there yet, according to the majority of poskim, there is no issue. Okay? I hope we made it clear for all of us. Again, what the prime minister does doesn't concern me. It's between him and his creator. I don't think it's my place to tell him what to do. Just like he doesn't tell me what to do in my personal halachic behavior. However, for others that saw it, I think this year will be beneficial because they'll know what they're allowed and not allowed to do if they visit Chutz La'aretz on Yom Tov Sheni. And with that, we conclude this year. I thank you all for listening. I feel better because I was able to clarify it. And with that, I wish you all a very good day.